the four priorities in life really should be God first, health second, family third, work fourth, you know? And I think those should be the priorities. And I think it's kind of learned that that's what is. My mind was always different. Mine was always God first. I've always been a God first person since I was a kid. But then after that, you know, I was work first.
Well, dude, I just wanted to say you look phenomenal. Oh. You know, like your face looks so full and so like you've actually been losing weight, and it's when you look at someone's face, you could see their consciousness. You could see how they've been spending their time.
Yeah.
And so I just want to start off by saying, like, I could tell you've been working or at least putting effort into building your body, mm-hmm. which builds your mind and your soul. So
no, it's been a work in progress, but we're recording.
Yeah.
Oh, we're good. Oh, yeah. I thought you were just complimenting.
I was.
Yeah. You know, all right, good.
And I'd love to start also with a tweet. You know, you have my continued health goals for 2024. Mm-hmm. One, daily goal of 10,000 steps. Two, sleep 8 hours every night. Three, 30 to 50 grams of protein in each meal. Four, drink electrolyte infused water daily. Five, 4 weightlifting sessions per week. Six, 10 minutes of morning sunlight. Seven, dedicate 10 to 15 minutes daily to stretching. And eight, organic meats when available. And then it's like...
Yeah, I was missing a lot of things there. There are a few other things I wish I put on there, but...
What else? What else do you wish you put on?
Well, there was, you know, I think one thing that I've done recently is... a lot of sweating, you know, and I know there was weightlifting on that list and steps, but I think sweating is also something that's, you know, just kind of like, you know, this journey that I've been on, which is we're going on 14 months now. Of, I think Thanksgiving of 2022, I weighed about 282 pounds. Wow. And right now I weigh about 205.
Wow.
So, you know, and it's been a lot of like, me, you know, me connecting with the inside of me, and not just mentally, but just physically, the inside physically, not just how I look on the outside, but how I look and feel on the inside. And part of that is also like sweating out and getting rid of toxins. And I think that's why organic foods has been so important on my list. Electrolyte and water is very important. I kind of pee a lot. You know, I might have to get up during this podcast. Like, I just pee everything out. I like to sweat everything out. Celery sticks has been a big thing because, you know, really celery sticks really detox your body too. You know, as it's going down, it attracts all these like negative cells and these, you know, this bacteria that's bad bacteria that's in your body. And it just literally your body just poops it out, you know, because the celery, you know, or most greens just go in and out of your body. So, but it takes a lot of toxins with it as it's going out. So, you know, I think that's been a big thing for me has been just really just how I feel inside and, you know, and then just, you know, yeah, the weightlifting, the steps, the, you know, I got one of these Whoops for Christmas. My wife bought it for me and, you know, kind of, you know, just measuring how active I am and, you know, it just, you know, you and I were talking about it earlier when you first walked in, is the amount of oxygen just going to my brain is just taking everything. This, you know, 2023 was the biggest year of all our businesses. Full Send, Happy Dad, Shots, every business that we're in right now was the biggest year last year. And it's really, you know, and I'm 40, I just turned 44 years old. I can't point to anything else other than being able to think clear, and my partner's thinking clear, my brother Kyle, Steve, like our whole staff, everyone, you know, everyone's on a health kick right now. We've been thinking so clearly that it's really, you know, it's translated to business as well.
Yeah, and it might be interesting for people that, you know, I'm starting a podcast with an incredible entrepreneur with health, and it's like that's because health is really the foundation for it all. And I'm curious, you know, you were 282 pounds Thanksgiving 2 years ago or a year and some change ago?
Yeah, like a year and two months ago, yeah.
A year and 2 months. What was the moment where you realized, I can't keep doing this?
There was a few things. One was just, I was already a big size hoodie, and I was out, you know, I was not fitting in 2X hoodies, which is pretty big size already.
Yeah.
And I was like, all right, I can't go to 3X. Like, we own two merch companies, and I don't even know if we have these in stock, you know. Mm-hmm. So where am I going to find all this 3X? Where am I going, you know? Every time I had to wear a suit for a special event, I had to go get resized and get a new suit. I'd never fit in suits. Every single, you know, if I was going to a wedding every 6 months or so, it's like, all right, don't fit in that suit anymore. Don't fit in that suit anymore, which is actually a new problem, but it's on the other way around. They're all too big now, but
love that.
But so, you know, I think it was that, but then also it was like, you know, I mean, I was sleeping so bad at night that, you know, I was, you know, I was told by a doctor and by Gary Brecka, you're gonna die in your sleep. Like you are not, you know, you are going to have a heart attack, or your, you know, your family's, you know, has a history of diabetes. You're gonna have diabetes. You're gonna have one or the other. Like this life that you're living in, I just don't want to do it. I don't want to do it to my wife. I don't want her to, you know, like, we just got married a year and a half ago. Like, I'm not gonna die already, you know. And that's what it really was. It was like me just being, just out of shape. You know, rich, really, just eating anything in sight. You know, my diets were Diet Coke or Coke with breakfast, or candy for lunch, burger, hot dog at night. And you know, I think, like, you know, I just had to change all that. I had to change everything, or I was just gonna die.
Yeah. What were the beliefs that underpinned you getting to that weight to begin with?
What do you mean?
Like, in order to get to that weight, you need to believe something about yourself.
Well, I knew, you know, I was in shape at one point in my life. Yeah. And I knew I could get back into there. But, you know, I was in shape in my teens.
Hmm.
You know, in my early 20s, I was in shape. And then, you know, once the business started, you know, my brother and I started the company when I was 29 years old. And once the business started, we just, you know, we've always, you know, the company's 15 years old now, Shots is, and we've always been trying to figure it out and keeping up with the times. You know, we've always been in the social media business, and social media has changed so much. And we started on YouTube in 2009. We were so early to YouTube that no one really understood. There was zero money in it. So we moved out of that space for a little bit, got into the app business, tried to monetize apps. That got busy, didn't work out, came back to YouTube, created a YouTube network with the creators, with, you know, obviously everyone else's story, the Paul brothers, Lele Pons, Rudy Mancuso, and all them. Then COVID hit, you know what I mean? Like, we've gone through so much, and we, you know, and social media changes so much. You know, when we first launched our company, it was really just Twitter and YouTube.
Yeah.
Facebook was around, but Facebook was private friends only. There was no Facebook public profile. So then Facebook gets public, then Instagram comes out, then TikTok comes out, then Snap.
It's never ending.
You know, Twitter turns into X. X is becoming more about video. It's never ending. You know, Spotify introduces podcasting. Spotify is now introducing video. You know, then all the, you know, rest in peace to all the ones that came out that we thought was going to be a thing, and we gave it a try and didn't become a thing. Vine and, you know, all these other ones.
Clubhouse,
Threads for about 2 weeks. So, you know, all these things. So we've always been just keeping up. And that's, you know, one thing my doctor told me, it was like, this rat race is going to kill you. You know, like, you're in this rat race right now, and we're in the ultimate rat race. People think Hollywood and entertainment is the rat race. Social media is the rat race. You know, we've got to change. Social media is going to change. By the time this podcast airs, something's changed on social media. You know, now the big thing is clips. You know, like, there's not a successful podcast without successful clips. Then clips are being distributed everywhere. It's like, one day it's more important to be on Reels than it is on Shorts, than it is on TikTok, now Snapchat. Like, it's like, so all that, this is 15 years of that I've been dealing with this. I know you've been dealing with this for a long time too. 15 years of dealing with this, you just kind of lose touch of health.
Yeah. How do you not lose your mind with being in that rat race for so long? I mean, very few people have ever lived on social media for a decade.
Mm-hmm.
You have, at the highest level. How do you maintain some level of sanity?
I think one is you got to surround yourself with good people, because there's a lot of idiots in this business. A lot of, you know, short-term thinkers. I'm very lucky and blessed because I've got my brother, who's a very long-term thinker like I am. Then I've got Kyle and Steve now as partners in everything that I do. They're long-term thinkers. I've been working with a lot of different people these days. Now Theo Vaughn, Mike Tyson, you know, all the partners that we currently have right now, Sugar Sean O'Malley, Justin Gaethje, these are all partners now that we're working with. And everyone that we work with is a long-term thinker. No one's here for a quick buck. No one's here for overnight success. Definitely not the fighters. Those guys, if anyone's put in the work, it's like if I ever feel or you ever feel bad for yourself, just think about what the fighters have gone through to get to where they're at now as UFC champions. So, I think, you know, that's just surrounding yourself with really good people. And every month or so, we bring on a new partner into a new certain venture. And they're always thinking long term. And I think that's the way. You got to be on the same wavelength as everyone else. Everyone we work with. I was just talking to Jorge Masvidal the other day about doing something together. And me and him are always on that same wavelength. Snoop and us, same wavelength. But it really starts with my brothers, my partner and everything. And Kyle and Steve. Like, we're like the four that we do everything together. And we're always on the same page.
How easy is it to tell that somebody is a long-term thinker or short-term thinker?
You can almost tell instantly, man. Yeah, you can almost tell it instantly. I mean, everyone's different story, but you could always, at least I can. I mean, not always, but most time I could tell instantly. Sometimes you learn the hard way. We've had some bad partners come in and out of here and never thought, you know, things would end up the way they did. But, you know, sometimes you learn and then you just try to not make that same mistake. But everyone's so different that you can't judge a new person based off how, if they're making you feel like someone else did, they're not the same person. I'm guilty of that. There are times where I'm like, I don't know about this person. It reminds me of this other person. And I'll even tell that person that. And they're like, I'm not that person. Don't look at me that way.
Wow.
So, but you still got to be careful. A quote I was once told when I was younger is, every new friend is a potential enemy. So it's one of those things where you just have to also not necessarily meet too many people. And, you know, I just named a ton of great partners that I have. It's like, why do I need to go and, you know, find someone else? You know, like I've got great partners. I've got everyone I named. I've got Dana White. You know, I've got great partners. Like, why not just build more with them than go and find someone else that could end up becoming an enemy?
Yeah, that makes sense. You know, the people that you mentioned and the people you surround yourself with are some of the greatest entertainers in the world, some of the greatest athletes in the world, and you've managed to put yourself in those rooms. When did you know yourself that there was going to be something different about how your life would unfold?
I think through time, and you know, one of the industries that we were in this last 15 years was the music industry. And you kind of realize, I realized one thing, musicians are surrounded by idiots. Like, the music industry is just a bunch of idiots.
Why is that?
Just short-term thinkers trying to make a buck off an artist. And the artist is so caught up with the music and the pressure of making music and keeping up with the hits and all that stuff that they're not really aware of who they've surrounded themselves with. And I'm not saying everybody, but I'm saying a lot. Like, 9 out of 10 people suck in the music industry.
Wow.
And I think that's one thing I learned. And it's one thing that actually we didn't want to be in the music industry because there's so many schmucks. But then also at the same time, I just realized, like, you know, not to toot my own horn or my brother's horn, but like, the industry also needs good humans. And one thing I do know, no matter what anyone wants to say or, say or assume or judge, is like, I know the type of person I am. I know the person that my mom and grandma raised, and I think this industry could use good people, and there's not a lot of them. Not a lot of them in the music industry. Now we're in some other businesses. We're in the podcast business. We're in the alcohol business. We're in the MMA business. We're in the merchandising business, and it's, you know, I think we're in these businesses where there are actually, 9 out of 10 people are good, maybe even more, So I think that's one thing we've learned is like, all right, just be in this industry where you're surrounding yourself with good people, not bad people, and take that energy to someone that could use some help. And I think that's one thing that I, you know, I'm really happy, and that's why I'm happy in the place I'm in now, is, you know, I'm just happy to, you know, be doing what we're doing.
Yeah. I could really feel that from your energy. There's a purity of your soul that I feel from interacting with you and watching you that feels like you are a good human. So when you look back on your childhood, when you look back on the things that your foundational moments, were there any moments that said like, oh, I'm different than the other people surrounding me mm-hmm. in any way?
No, I mean, as a childhood, or as a child, like, you know, I mean, we, you know, we didn't grow up in a perfect environment, but we didn't grow up in too tough of one either. Mm-hmm. I mean, at least not compared to a lot of stories that I know. Mm-hmm. You know, my mom was single, grew, you know, single mom with my grandma, raised me and my brother until I met my stepdad, which I was around 16. Now he's been in my life. I pretty much call him dad now. But, you know, I mean, like we had some times where my mom worked a lot of hours and barely even saw her when I was growing up because she worked so much to make sure my brother and I got everything we wanted, school, books, Little League, all that stuff. But we still lived a good life because we were surrounded by love. So, you know, I don't think... Yeah, I can't ever sit here and just say like we were raised rough because I've heard so many bad stories that I really feel for that person. So, I don't really know. I mean, you know, I think the one thing maybe I learned is like no matter what the situation is, to always just have a smile on your face. Mm. You know, in the last 30 days, my family's had 3 deaths. It was like a rough holiday for my family. And you know, you wouldn't know about it, right? Like we were still smiling. It was my uncle's memorial last Saturday. It was one of the best days of my life. Everyone was smiling, laughing, drinking, eating food, playing music. Like, you know, I think that's the thing. You just have to like, whatever the situation, you have to make the best of it and just keep going. You can't dwell. You can't be held back. And that's kind of how I learned how to grow up in general. You know, someone passes away, you go and, you know, be there for the family, be there, you know, keep that person in your prayers, but that person's always with you and is with God. And that person, look at that person now as an angel with God and put a smile on your face. And that's kind of, you know, I gave a speech at my uncle's funeral on Saturday. And that's what I told everyone. I said, you guys might be crying, but I've been actually smiling every day since he passed because I talked to him. You know, I'm smiling. I drive. I'm like literally like reliving memories with him. And I think that's just kind of, you know, this is just a recent example. That's why I'm talking about it. But I think just in general with life is like no matter what it is, you just have to make the best out of it and just stay positive and, you know, and just keep moving and just make positive out of anything. You know, my uncle was one of the closest people to me and my brother. And he was one of the closest people to me and my brother. And like I said, I cried for maybe, he passed away like a few days after Thanksgiving. I cried probably a total of 30 minutes since. You know, I have my 5 minutes here, 10 minutes here, but I've been smiling most of the time. And I think that's the secret to life is like, the key to life is just like make something positive because the positivity I have is like all the memories I have and being able to still talk to him because he is with God and, you know, like looking at pictures and laughing and like reliving jokes he used to tell me. So long answer, but that's how I look at life.
It's very beautiful. Thank you for sharing that. What did you learn from your uncle?
One thing I've learned, I've had a few deaths in my family. One was one of my other uncles in 2002, then my grandma, which was probably the most, you know, because she raised us, probably the hardest death. That was in 2019. And so, you know, and there's been a bunch of ones in between, friends, parents' friends, my wife's grandmother, like, all, you know, a lot of other ones. My cousin recently, that was one of the 3 in the last 30 days. And I think think that what I've learned is to just to make things positive and just smile and enjoy. You know, and that's one of the reasons why we were kind of, it wasn't necessarily a party at my uncle's memorial this last weekend, but it was fun because the message we try to spread is like, what would he want? Because he's watching. What would he want? What's he want? What's, you know, does he want a bunch of people sitting around crying their brains out? Or would he want, you know, he was Brazilian. So, you know, would he want bomb Brazilian food? And he was married to my aunt. So my aunt's Kurdish. So we had Kurdish food, Brazilian food. We had music. We had all his favorite songs. Mike Tyson actually sent, there's a picture of him and Mike. And Mike and his wife sent it to me, signed by Mike. We had this picture of him and Mike Tyson at the entryway. You know what I mean? Like, cool stuff is what my uncle would want. And I think that's the thing is, you know, when people pass, you got to remember what they would want, not what you want. Because I think what you want when someone passes away is to sit down and cry and cry and cry and think the world's over and start even questioning God and all this other stuff that you spiral down to. That's what you want. But you got to remember what would they want, you know? And what they would want is for you to be happy and live on and remember them for who they were and who they currently are and where they are. In my opinion, they're with God.
That's really beautiful. What do you want people to take from you after you leave your physical body?
I don't know. Hopefully that's been a long time, so I haven't really put much thought behind that.
But we can be taken at any moment, you know?
Yeah, we can. And try my best not to.
You know, I understood. And so
this is not my last podcast.
Let's pray on that.
I think just that. I think just being a good person. I think that's what's important, you know? I think the four priorities in life really should be God first, health second, family third, work fourth, you know? And I think those should be the priorities. And I think it's kind of learned that that's what is. My mind was always different. Mine was always God first. I've always been a God first person since I was a kid. But then after that, you know, I was work first. And I used to always say, like, I got to work first because I got to provide for the family. I got to make sure everyone's good. I'll worry about health and family later. You know, like, the family struggles if I'm not working, so I got to work, you know? So I was work first, family second. Then I was like, all right, no, family first, because that's what everyone says, family first. All right, so family first, work second, health third. And then now I've realized, wait a minute, if I'm unhealthy, or if I go get that stroke that I was talking about earlier, or if whatever, you know what I mean? Whatever it is, I'm just angry, I'm frustrated, I'm not getting enough oxygen to go into my head, and I'm, you know, don't even want to show up Thanksgiving dinner, what's the point? You know, so health first, family second, and then money's easy at that point.
Yeah. What about God? When did you start being connected to God?
Oh, as early as I can remember life. Yeah, I've always been very connected with God.
What does that look like for you?
Just being thankful, and, you know, I think being, just know that there's something, that there's a someone out there that created this universe, created us, created everything, created you and me meeting. You know, there's a ruler of this universe, and I think we shall always be grateful for that. None of that's possible. Me talking about trying to spread this message of health and business and all this stuff wouldn't really exist without God. So I think there's that. I think, you know, you've also got me at a time where I'm very vulnerable because I've had so many deaths in the family recently, and, you know, it's been a rough last 30 days or so. But I do believe that those who pass go straight to God. You know, I do believe, like, you know, when they say heaven gained another angel, I do believe that. I do believe that person looks over you. Yeah, that's what I believe in.
Yeah. I really appreciate you sharing this because, you know, in a world of business podcasts and talk about your health, it's like,
this is
deep to the core of who you are.
Yeah. You've hit me at a vulnerable, but like a month ago, I wouldn't be talking about this stuff. I'd just go straight to, all right, creators, this is how you're going to build a business. This is what you got to do. But it's been a interesting 30 days.
Yeah. And that's the fourth for me too. You know, so it's like, what are we spending all our time focused on the fourth thing when we got one through three that needs to be focused on and appreciated and grown and built into. So I appreciate you sharing all that you did.
I think one of the things, and this is why I like coming on your podcast, and, you know, I try to only do a select few of these a year, but I think it's more like kind of sharing my life experiences. You know, a lot of new people get into social media. A lot of people have been in social media, trying to figure out social media. I feel like I've been here arguably the longest. Like, I've been doing this longer than most contacts I know at YouTube have worked at YouTube. Wow. You know, so like, I share with them, you know, what I've learned and whatnot. And I think one of the things I like to do is just kind of share what I've learned. And that's why I like to come on here. I like to talk about things I've learned and how I see things. And, you know, I'm not always right, but at least I can share my experiences and, you know, share what I've done right, what I've done wrong. You know, and, you know, I mean, we've done it all, right? Like, we've worked with all types of creators. We made 6 second videos. We've made, 6 episode docuseries. We've made movies. We've made vlogs. We've made comedy sketches. We've made music videos. We've made Latin music videos. We made Brazilian music videos. You know, like, we've made prank videos, short prank videos. Like, we've made it all, like, at this point. Family channels, you know, our networks had almost every single, genre of content that's, you know, that lives on the internet. So we've seen it all, podcasts, all types of podcasts, sports podcasts, lifestyle podcasts, you know, hip hop podcasts, like, you know, you name it, comedy podcasts. But, you know, kind of sharing those experiences, what I like to do, and maybe someone could learn one thing or learn what not to do as well sometimes too.
Yeah. Speaking of that, what happened in 2009 with DirecTV?
Yeah. Where did I talk about that? How do you know about that? I talked about that somewhere, right?
Yeah. We do our research here.
They thought I was crazy when I was talking about YouTube. That's really what happened. They thought I was crazy.
Yeah,
they thought I was crazy. They literally thought I was crazy. they told me, like, you are absolutely insane. Like, we actually don't want to be affiliated with you because you're crazy. Yeah, it was pretty much that. I would love to drop the person's name. Wow. She still works there. That's my only hint. It's a she, but I'm not going to say her name. But she, I looked up. Well, at least like 2 years ago, I looked her up. Just wondering if she was still there and why she would be there. But yeah, she told me I was crazy when I used to see this. You know, DirecTV always cared about going against cable and what market share cable had. And then eventually Dish Network was growing and DirecTV cared about Dish Network a little bit. Not as much as they cared about cable, but they cared about Dish Network. This is old DirecTV, by the way. This is like 2 ownerships ago. So it's not the current state of DirecTV, which I don't have anyways. I have YouTube TV. But there was another category growing. It was called Other, and that was internet TV. And every quarter, that Other would go up. And that was streaming. That was when the really, iPhone had just come out. And then now it was 2009, but it was 2011, I think, when they, 2011 or 2012, when they actually officially terminated us. But the arguments, it was like a 2-year back and forth of me telling DirecTV, we should get into streaming. You know, we should be available on the iPad. They're like, the iPad? No, absolutely not. I was like, why not? I was like, you're selling the $5 a month for additional receivers. Why not charge an extra $5 a month to stream it on the iPad? They're like, you're crazy. I said, well, look at YouTube, look at Netflix, look at all this internet TV growing. They're like, that'll never be anything. You're crazy. You're out of your mind. We'd like to terminate our agreement with you. I was like, all right, no problem. That's when we got into YouTube. And so the argument started in 2009. You know, I was trying to merge the two together. Shots was initially supposed to be a network underneath DirecTV, kind of like their, like, content arm for internet creators at the time. And that's why we had people that DirecTV had relationships with. They had a relationship with Chad Ochocinco because of the NFL Sunday Ticket. They had a relationship with Floyd Mayweather because of pay-per-view fights. You know, Mike Tyson was getting into movies. So these were all channels underneath our network at the time. And So that's kind of why we went after like people in the DirecTV world, and they're like, stop talking to these people. I said, no, I won't. Like, I'm going to create online content for them. And yeah, they terminated us, but then that was the birth of everything we're doing right now.
It reminds me of Jeff Bezos looking at the chart of the internet and being like, this is growing by an insane percentage. Like, just, this is like 1995.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, I'm going to go here.
Yeah.
And people are like, you're crazy. And so, you know, you clearly have an eye for seeing things that people don't see. What would you recommend for people who want to spot where the future is going? Why was it so obvious to you then that the world was going to internet? Obviously, it's easy to say now. It's like everyone has a phone. But like, what are the things you look for when you are looking at a new opportunity of where the world is going?
Well, I think the one thing I look at right now is you look at like, and this is why when we launched our own platform, it didn't work. We launched our own platform, the Shots app, and it didn't work. I think you got to look at like existing platform and what content fits on that platform. You know, I think right now, you know, over the last few years, podcasting on YouTube, I feel it's massive. A video podcast, people want to see podcasts as much as they want to listen to them. They want to see. I think and YouTube is the best platform for that right now, arguably, because they, you know, there's no limit. We could go 6 hours on this episode if we wanted to, and we don't have to worry about, wait a minute, we're not going to be able to upload it onto YouTube, right? X is going that direction. So X is going to be big. So you got to look at, speaking of X, let's talk about that, is you got to look at platforms and the type of content that makes sense on that platform at the time. What do people want as well? You and I were talking about this earlier. In a podcast, people want to learn. Mm-hmm. If someone's dedicated to an hour, minute, or an hour and 15 minutes in the case of your podcast, they want to learn. That's what I was talking about. Like, we don't need to talk about Bieber and Mayweather and all these stories I've told in the past, because no one's learning from that.
Yeah.
Right? It's just like, it's a humble brag for me. It's whatever, you know, it's, that's all it is. How do we teach? Because that's what people want. People want to learn. And I think there's two things post-COVID I've learned. There's two things people want to learn. They want to learn how to make money. They want to learn how to be healthy.
Mm.
So, okay. So now what platforms can we do that? What platforms can we sit down and talk for an hour and 15 minutes? And it's really YouTube and X. So you got to look at the platform and the content that the world wants right now, and create, you know, another platform is Shopify. You know, people are wanting to build businesses. We have 3-4 Shopify stores right now, you know, so I think that's, Shopify is another platform. No, you know, don't think of a platform as a, you know, a place to upload photos and videos. Shopify is a platform to upload your products. So that's another platform. And then you, the beauty and the art of it comes, like, how do you get them all to connect? How do you get that Shopify store or stores to connect with your podcast? How do you get your podcast on X to connect with the YouTube one, to connect with the Spotify, the Apple? Then how do all of them connect to your Shopify store? So what you got to do is like look at these products and build one thing that kind of connects to all of them. And to me, I think the best example right now of that is FullSend. Now, FullSend is a podcast. FullSend is Nelk channel. FullSend is merch. You know, FullSend, you know, it's not alcohol because it's called something else, but there's now an alcohol brand. You got to create like your own ecosystem, but use all these platforms that are relevant. YouTube's relevant. X is relevant. Snapchat's relevant. Instagram's relevant. Shopify is relevant. Yeah, all the audio platforms are relevant.
Now, does this come naturally to you? This breakdown of, okay, we're going to look at the entire pie and create a circular way to make sure that everything goes and connects to everything else. Like, is that something that you've learned? How have you learned it?
And well, I think in business, if you learn how to create like an ecosystem and you kind of look at it like, you just draw out, we always go on a whiteboard and we draw a circle.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have all these spokes out of the circle of how does everything go to the core, kind of how the universe is, right? Like you got to go out to the core. What is the core and how do you build around that core? How do you add things to that core? I think that's natural. I think that's natural to everybody. It's just a matter of doing it or not and properly doing it. There's a lot of things that have come across my table recently. I'm like, that's a great opportunity and you might make a lot of money, but that doesn't fit the core. You know, that doesn't fit our core. And you got to stay, you know, you got to say no to a lot of things. I say no to almost everything if it doesn't meet the core. You know, it's, if anyone probably has anything bad to say about me out there, it's because of that, right? Like, heard the other day, someone called me. He's like, yeah, I met this guy. He didn't really like you. I was like, I don't know who that is. He's like, really? I was like, yeah. He said, you're an asshole and you treat him like shit. And I like looked up the guy and I saw, and the guy literally sent me this long ass email about pitching me on something that made no sense with our business. And all I wrote back is like, hey man, thanks for reaching out. Not interested in this at this moment. You know what I mean? Like, you might piss off some people. So then all of a sudden I'm the bad guy and trashes me. But you know, you got to do that. And I don't care. I don't care about this person. I don't care about what they were pitching me. I don't care what they go tell my friend. You got to stay focused on that core. You know, if you stay, you know, and build your own ecosystem. I think an ecosystem is how, one is you're going to have fun with work. Two is you're going to always retain your audience as well. And three is like, you know, it makes making money that much more easier. If you think about like a Apple, for instance, the ecosystem is you go to their store, use their payment system, you buy their phone. After you buy their phone, you sign up for an Apple ID. When you have an Apple ID, you download almost all their apps. Most people end up downloading using Apple Music. So now you're signing up for their music service. Now they have streaming. Yeah, you want to upgrade to something bigger, you go get their iPad or one of their Macs. You know, you want to watch TV, you get the Apple TV and right? It's like one ecosystem. And I think that's the secret. Not all of us are going to build an Apple ecosystem, but you could build your own mini ecosystem. I think that's what Folsom is. It's its own mini ecosystem.
So with the thing in the middle, is that Folsom itself or is that like the characteristics of the brand of Folsom?
That's Folsom slash Shots. That's the media arm. So what we do is we build channels. We build YouTube channels. And then outside of that YouTube channel, we build other channels, micro channels outside out of them, whether they're X, Snap, Instagram, TikTok, you know, clips or whatever it is. So it really starts there. It's our media arm, which is Shots X Full Send. And then everything comes out of that, you know.
So you said you want to talk more about X. And so why have you been so bullish, other than being friends with Elon Musk, on X and what where it's going?
Is this episode going on X?
Of course.
Yeah? You put the full episode?
Yeah.
That's why.
Yeah.
Where else is the full episode going besides YouTube and X?
Spotify and Apple.
But video?
Spotify, maybe.
Yeah, but now they don't let you monetize video, which is, I don't know, I don't understand that.
It's the, you can comment underneath the episode in a way that just feels the most exciting to me on X.
On it, yeah. Well, I think that what makes it most exciting is the fact that there is a true, someone's been able to figure out how to compete with YouTube. I love YouTube. Our business built off YouTube. Everything we've talked about going into this episode so far outside of health and death was YouTube. I love YouTube, but it's also nice to know that there's an alternative out there. Not necessarily because I'm looking to leave YouTube or anything like that. I'm not. I love YouTube. But it's also nice to know that there's another universe out there of a whole different world, hundreds of millions of people that aren't on YouTube that you could reach out to. Because there are places, there's hundreds of millions of people on Instagram, on TikTok, on Snap. But I can't really cater to them because we're making 48-minute to 2-hour videos, right? So unless I chop up a clip and send it to them, I'm not really necessarily able to cater to on the people on those other platforms. We're now on X, we could upload a 48-hour or hour 15-minute video on X. And I think that's what gets me the most excited about X. I don't really, you know, I don't really worry too much about the political side of things and being censored and stuff like that. You know, YouTube's got their rules. We abide by them. You know, it is what it is. You know, so I'm not really worried about the free speech part of things. It's nice to know that you don't have to worry as much, but it's not like a big thing. To me, it's just nice to know that there's a world out there with a few hundred million users that our hard work, your hard work, my hard work, my team's hard work, can actually, now we could upload that same exact file somewhere else and get a whole set of different eyeballs onto that content. I guarantee this episode is going to do better on X than it is on YouTube, because there's not a lot of people thinking of putting full episodes on X right now. So you're capturing a whole different world of people right now with this episode.
Yeah.
Where YouTube is so busy, so busy. It's great. YouTube's great. If you're able to crack it, if you've been doing this for 15 years and, you know, you've got a head start. But if you don't have a head start, it's hard to crack that code. But right now, you know, X is giving a lot of creators an opportunity.
So I think what sticks out to me in your abilities is your ability to look at the new thing that people are dismissing or not taking full advantage of and going headfirst into it. Like, you're doing that with X and video right now, and you're doing that with YouTube in 2009. I'm just like, okay, everyone is diminishing the importance of this new thing that's happening, and it's actually really important. And so I think that's like the macro takeaway for somebody who's just listening to this, is like, what is the not cool thing or the thing that people might be overlooking, even though it's new?
Yeah.
Does that sound accurate to you?
Yeah, because I think people always, not all people, but most people, I guess all people, most people want to join things when it's a little bit too late.
When it's cool.
When it's cool and it's too late. And I'm guilty of it, by the way. You know, for 2 years or so, people are like, well, why don't you launch a podcast? Why don't you do one? Especially after the Elon episode, full send. The amount of people that hit me about launching a podcast. And I've thought about it. And I've got a couple ideas. But I'm like, how's it going to do on YouTube? I don't know how it's going to do on YouTube. So I don't want to do it. I'm not going to put in that work. I'm a busy guy. I'm not going to put in all that work if it's not going to do good on YouTube. But now I'm like, wait a minute. What if I didn't put on YouTube? I just went all X. Because X is, you know, people are thinking the way a lot of people right now are listening to this right now, like, I'm going to start uploading this on X. And I think that's the thing, is like, you got to think, if you were a new creator right now listening to this, or in the case of me, who I would be considered a new creator, me, John Shahidi himself, not the company, but me, new creator, I'm going to get lost on YouTube. It's going to be very, very, very hard. It'll be so hard. I'm going to have to do 400 episodes before, you know, taking off. It'll take way too long. Where X, you know, there's an appetite for content on X right now. And podcasters are going to win if they start going on X because of that.
I think so, too. What do you tell people who believe it's too late?
Well, it depends on what they're talking about.
You're right, for YouTube. You know, I think I just mean from the perspective of, you know, like, doesn't everyone have a podcast? Or doesn't everyone have a YouTube channel? Or doesn't everyone have an X? Or doesn't everyone have an Instagram? Like, there's sometimes people fall into this trap, I believe, of like thinking that there's already enough of something, so they can't do something else.
If you do something everyone else is already doing, it's too late. If you go do the same shit everyone else is doing, it's too late.
Yeah.
If I went and created a podcast right now and I interviewed Elon and Mr. Beast and Jake Paul and Jelly Roll and, you know, all the people who just came through Full Send the last couple of years and re-interviewed him, it's too late. It's not going to do good.
Isn't that crazy? Like,
it's been done. You can't do what's been done.
Yeah.
But there's ideas you could think of. You know, there's a gang of ideas out there that you could think of that haven't been done. You'd be surprised if you just thought about something unique and different.
That's the current thing that I'm dealing with right now and thinking about, is like, this interview podcast has been done so many times and I've kind of outgrown it. You know, I feel like I'm in this stage right now of like, this is going to become something else. And I don't know exactly what this is going to become, but I'm interested to see what happens. So how have you talked to or worked with creators who are in the metamorphosis of changing, of building something else?
Everyone's different, but I could tell you one thing that could work possibly is every creator has a product coming out right now, right? Mm-hmm. We have Happy Dad. Logan has Prime. Mm-hmm. Mr. Beast has chocolates. Yeah. There's other creators coming out with other things. I don't want to say what, but I sure. know Danny Duncan well. I know he's coming out with a product that's going to crush. Theo Von has a product that's going to crush. Snoop's got 100 products. Dana White has Powerhead and Power Slap, right, outside of UFC. But let's talk about products. Dana White has Howlerhead. What about a podcast that broke down products, whether you had the creator in it or not? It was just like reviewing creator products, you know, or breaking it down. It's like, hey, Danny Duncan, congrats on launching whatever you've launched. Come on mine. I'm focused on talking, breaking down creator products. That's all I do. I'm not going to talk about your last video or why, you know, how you moved between LA and Florida or any of this stuff. I'm here to talk about this product. Where is it available? Where can we buy it? Why did you make it? What makes it better than this other one? Let's do a breakdown of your product. You do a podcast like that, everyone's going to come on there. Nelk's going to come and talk about Happy Dad, and Dana's talking about Howlerhead, and Bradley Martin will talk about Raw Gear merch. You know what I mean? Like, you're going to get, Logan will talk Prime or KSI. One of them will come and talk Prime. You know what I mean? But if you own creator product podcasts.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just an idea. I might be wrong. I might not work. No one might even come on. I don't know. You know what I mean? But it's just out there. Like, if you start thinking outside the box versus like, Logan, come over here and come talk about your relationship with your brother and, how you, got into WWE and, your relationship with, Dylan Danis now, you know what I mean? Like, he's not going to want to do that. He's done that a million times. He does it on his own podcast. But if you're like, Logan, like, I have a literally called Creator Products Podcast. Come and talk about this. Yeah. And every few weeks, you see a new creator coming out with a new product. Chameleos have some, I think, like, I don't know if it's chips or popcorn, they've come out with them. Chamberlain has one. You know what I mean? Like, every creator now is coming in. Where do they go to talk about it?
You look at the shelves on a grocery store and you're just like, I don't know anyone associated with this brand, this brand, this brand. Those are all going to be creators.
Oh, yeah.
Over the next 50 years.
100%.
And so that's a cool idea. I hope someone steals that and takes that. More broadly about
ideas. If you do it, you got my support. Okay.
How do you go about thinking about idea generation? It's clearly one of your skills. How do you come up with new ideas? Is there a process?
Yeah, we kind of look at, one is, I think you got to understand who your audience is, right? Happy Dad was, created really because our audience, one, is mostly males, and there wasn't necessarily a seltzer that were targeting males, catered towards males, right? Make it cool. You know what I mean? Like this is our Big Papa, our 24 ounce, and, the branding of it and everything of Happy Dad. But it's malt-based, so it still has a touch of beer feeling to it as well. It's not necessarily vodka or spirit-based like a lot of other seltzers. It's malt-based, so it feels like a beer, kind of almost tastes like a beer, but it's low-calorie, and the ingredients are the ingredients of a seltzer, but it looks like a beer now. So it's like kind of has a touch of taste of beer, looks like it, feels and looks like a beer. It's cool to take a picture of. But that's our audience, right? Like, that's what, you're not going to see us getting into, like, the makeup business or, any kind of cosmetics or anything like that. You can understand who your audience is. We have Board Jerky, our beef jerky brand, because we also know males like beef jerky. But now females, I've learned also, it's become a pretty good dietary replacement of a lot of other snacks at home. And women also like buying it for the kids. So now Board Jerky allows us to sell to people who don't necessarily drink alcohol, whether for age, religion, personal preferences. But it's a different company than Happy Dad, but it's another brand that we built. You just got to understand who your audience is and then build a product. But then you got to also make sure that the product's great. We have a team of 10 that tastes everything. If one person does not like this product, the product's not selling. That's kind of been this, there was a Boar Jerky's almost, say, about a year and a half in the works. It's like back and forth. When you mass produce something and you've got tens of thousands of bags being made, you got to make sure that everything tastes great. And, so that's one thing. You can't compromise the flavoring only because, oh, I have millions of followers, it's going to do well anyways. You can't do that because it's all about the buyback. Because if you want that shelf space that you were talking about before, Walmart, Kroger, 7-Eleven, Circle K, you know, all the Publix, all these big chains, they'll give you a chance. But if the product's not moving, you're out. And it's almost like if you're out with a lot of these chains, not necessarily the ones I name, but some chains out there I won't name, when you're out, you're out. You don't get a chance to re-pitch them. Once you're out, you're out.
One shot. And it's based on if the quality is just not.
Well, they're buyback. They look at buyback. Wait a minute. This isn't moving. Yes, a lot of people came the first day you posted about it. Then we restocked the shelves and no one came back.
Wow.
So unless you're going to post every single week about it for the rest of your life, they don't want that.
Product's got to be good.
Product's going to be great.
So how do you think about your role or responsibility in helping, we talked about health, right? And it's like selling alcohol. And now alcohol, for some people, is becoming less and less of a thing that they're excited about. And it's like, what is our role in helping people when people are drinking alcohol? Mm-hmm. But at the same time, it's like, is that going to lead to the greatest outcome for people? So how do you balance the responsibility?
It's a stat that people are drinking less.
Yeah.
But it's more or less.
Do you know how much people are drinking less?
Well, it depends on the category, but right. I know like hard liquors, sales are down, beer's down, but seltzer is actually up. And it goes back to health, right? There's only 2 grams of carbs in a can. There's only 100 calories, 1 gram of sugar, gluten-free. So, people care about, and quite honestly, people aren't necessarily looking to get messed up. There's only 5% alcohol on a happy dad. So, although we still always encourage and promote responsible drinking, you're not really going to get too, it's not like you're putting down a bottle of scotch, and that thing, when they say alcohol consumption is down, it's more that it's the person putting down, drinking out of a bottle or putting down, the whiskeys, the tequilas, rum is like non-existent now. Those are the ones that are down, especially the top end stuff. Now, some of the lower level, lower price vodkas, tequilas and whiskeys are doing pretty decent. But it's like more high shelf, the stronger stuff, it's not doing too good.
And when you look back at, when you look at this like 10 years from now, where do you think people are going to be? Where do you think the relationship with alcohol is going to be 10 years from now?
Well, I think people are just going to care more about health and gut health more than anything.
Yeah.
Health, how they feel. I think, people are, more people would rather get up early in the morning, go to the gym, than they are sitting around being hungover at home.
Mm-hmm.
I hope that's actually the direction it's going now. I don't know if 10 years, because things could change, yeah. Right? 2020 changed a lot of things. I think people want to work. They want to work out. They want to not feel like crap in the morning. They want to enjoy life. Right now, if you go to any given gym, most gyms right now are just packed, like absolutely packed. People love working out. They love getting in shape. I think, and I hope, because we never try not to promote it, but the hope the days of excessive drinking is pretty much numbered.
Yeah, it's really cool seeing, I saw briefly Kyle's transformation,
mm-hmm.
and just like, what that means for somebody who is so loved by so many people who party, for is like, okay, I'm also taking care of my health. And like, this was forcing me down a dark place.
Yeah.
Like, that is like, that can transform the world in small ways. If I was 18 years old and following Kyle and he starts posting about working out, I might start working out.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
It's really
cool.
He's
getting that right now. That's almost all the messages he gets these days. or share your secrets, tell us what you're doing. You know, every trainer he works out with is getting hit up left and right now. Yeah, I mean, he's doing that. He's really encouraged a lot of, inspired a lot of people. And he loves it. You know, like that's one thing. Kyle loves to make people happy. That's all. That's why he's done prank videos. He wasn't doing prank videos necessarily to, you know, be an asshole to someone out in the streets. He knew that if he uploaded that, millions of people were going to laugh. And that's the business that he's in. That's the world. That's the life Kyle wants. Is he wants, he loves to hear. He helps a lot of people. He helps his family. He helps his friends. He helps make a lot of people laugh. And now he wants to help people get healthy and to get, you know, inspired to get off their ass and go work out, you know.
It is kind of taking something that is a pleasure of the moment and bringing people to a pleasure of fulfillment. And that's a huge difference. And I think we are going to trend more and more in that direction mm-hmm. over the coming few yeah. decades.
Steve's like that too, by the way. You know, Steve just loves, they love to figure out new ways to bring joy to people.
Mm.
Whether it's in the case of laughter, you know, going on a podcast and maybe teaching a thing or two, or bringing in a guest. Like some of our favorite episodes are when someone comes in and is teaching the audience.
Mm.
You know, whether I think Jelly Roll episode just came out, like that one. Like, you know, it's like you just learn, or now teaching someone how to get in shape.
Yeah. What's your favorite way to bring people joy?
Think pretty much the four things that we listed, right? Like I think, and I don't try to push God too much, but if I could help open someone's eyes up or someone's going through something and just kind of like remind them the direction of God, I think that's one. I think two is now the health thing. Three is family and making sure that you're always, you know, I think always try to preach, you know, staying close with your family, being nice to your mom, being nice to your dad. Don't argue too much with your sibling. You know, be a, you know, if you're married, be a great husband, be a great wife, you know, be a great parent. Yeah, I think that. And then, yeah, and then number four, the, you know, make money, you know.
Yeah.
Make it, you know, get up and go do it. You know, like, get off your ass and do it, you know, to go do something, go get the job that you want. You can get that job. Maybe not be the first job that you get, but eventually that your dream job, you'll get there. You got to start somewhere. Eventually you get the business that you want. You know, maybe you don't start right away. You got to work for a couple other people and then learn. But whatever you want to do, eventually you will get there. It won't be right away. It's not going to be tomorrow morning, but eventually you will get there because life is long. Life is not short. You know, you don't think everything's got to happen now. Plant the seed now and you'll get there. Whether it's in a year, 2 years, 5 years, or 10 years, eventually you'll get there.
Yeah. When you talk about family and you talk about being in a relationship, I've heard you talk about on previous podcasts as well, how much you enjoy spending time with your wife and how that's, you can just like sit on the couch all day, like mm-hmm. if it's after work. How does somebody become a successful entrepreneur or do incredible in their work, but also balance that with having an incredible relationship and family life?
Yeah. Well, I think you just set boundaries, you know, certain hours of the day, certain days a week, you know, like, you know, unless it's an emergency at work, like I'm almost unreachable on Saturdays and Sundays.
Mm.
I'm almost unreachable after 7 p.m. ish, you know. You just got to set boundaries, you know, and, you know, if someone call me and literally, is this an emergency? No? Cool, I'll call you later. You know, and just give that time and attention to your significant other.
Was it always like that way since you started, or was that something you added in more recently?
No, sir. That's why I didn't get married till a few years ago. Right? It was my wife who came in my life about 5 years ago that made me think that way.
Mm.
She's the one that was slapping the phone out of my hand. But you're not. That could wait till tomorrow.
Wow.
So she did that first few months of our relationship. She made me realize, wow, you're right. I could create this. I could have a balance. You're right.
What other things have you learned from your wife?
I think almost a little bit of everything that we talk about. You know, mm-hmm. she's helped me become more spiritual as well with God. She's helped me. She's always she grew up Catholic, so she's always helped me understand more about the Bible. She's the one that really helped this health journey, right? Wow. She's the one that said, hey, you're snoring at night, you have sleep apnea, go see a doctor, call Gary, because she knew I was friends with Gary Brecka, call Gary, like, you know, go get a blood test. So she's the one that pushed that. You know, she's the one that, you know, all of a sudden always also make sure that the families are together, whether they're spending time with her family or my family. And then, you know, the night that I met Nelk, she's the one that arranged that meeting. You know, she's the one, I was at dinner. I think I've told this story before. I was at dinner, and she actually managed the restaurant. She purposely set Nelk at the table next to us for me to be able to meet Kyle. So she's like helped like everything that we've talked about. She's helped with in one way or another. My wife Renee's she's a beast. Yeah. So
it's a really special thing.
Yeah. Yeah. She's awesome.
I think that, you know, a lot of people listening to this might be curious about like, at what point am I ready to find someone else? Like you said you're 44 now, so it was only in the past 5-6 years.
Yeah, I was 36 or 37 when I met her.
Yeah.
I'm losing count. Yeah.
Yeah. Is that something you wish you would have seeked earlier, or is that everything happens in perfect
control,
time?
Control, yeah. Yeah. Can't control that.
Yeah.
I wish, but can't control it.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not like I knew her 20 years ago and like, you know, couldn't control it.
Yeah. And on the piece of like, she was the one who was pushing you to do all this for your health. What was holding you back from looking at your own health and being able to say like, well, I see I have a problem, basically.
Yeah. I don't think I knew I had a problem. You know, like even when I look at pictures of myself now versus back then,
yeah,
like, wow, I didn't even realize I looked like that back then. Yeah. Like I didn't even think I was so caught up with work that I didn't know I snored at night. I just was tired all day and didn't know that I had sleep apnea. You know, I didn't know my cholesterol levels and my blood sugar levels through the roof because I didn't go to the doctor. So I just didn't know. The only way I knew was by realizing that my hoodies were getting too tight on me. That's the only way I knew that I was getting unhealthy. But I didn't really look at like breakdown, like my blood work, doing genetic testings. I don't use a sleep machine anymore, but I was using a sleep machine for a while. Like I didn't even know what a sleep machine was. I had no idea such a thing existed. You know, I was just tired all day, grouchy all day, and not fitting in clothes, but not realizing why.
Yeah. So what advice would you give to someone to see themselves more clearly in that moment?
Well, first things first, I would do a blood work. Mm-hmm. And I would get at least two blood tests done a year and just go see your doctor and just have them do a breakdown of your blood test, you know, of your blood results and have them break down what is good, what is bad, what vitamins are you low in? You know, what's your cholesterol level? What's your blood sugar level? You know, I would advise doing that. That's probably the only thing I would advise. Start there, then take it from there.
Like just as simple as Google blood test near me, something like that.
Yeah, or just go see your family physician, or yeah, or I think any doctor. Yeah, I think any doctor could just do a regular, and then they just send you to LabCorp or Quest or one of those. You know, these blood centers, and you just go do a blood shed. You haven't done one?
No.
How old are you?
28.
Yeah, you should get one done.
Yeah. My parents are listening to this right now. They're like, what is wrong with this kid?
Yeah. Where's your family doctor? Where's he based?
I think New York.
New York?
I haven't gone to a doctor.
Oh, you must. Oh, I'm going to get on you for this one. You got to. 28, you got to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think like it's not a common thing that's like I would talk about with my friends. So it doesn't come up in conversation, but that's like something that I'm blind to, right? That just doesn't come up.
Are all your friends back home?
No, in Austin and
New York. No, I mean like New York or?
New York and Austin.
New York, okay.
Yeah.
Your closest friends that you could talk to? Because it's actually a fun thing. Like now I have a group chat with my buddies. I'm friends with all my old high school friends. Yeah. We have group chats now.
Yeah.
Where we're just like literally like talk about, you know, like we all are friends on Whoop. Like we're all like, challenging each other for whatever it is, like lowering cholesterol, like this is all some old man shit. But you know what I mean, like who's got sleep apnea here, who's not, like, you know what I mean, like, you know, on Whoop you could look at how many hours someone slept at night. So if one of our buddies slept 5.5 hours, we give him a hard time. But I think that's one cool thing, and it's a way to bring friends together, you know, wherever your closest friends are, you know, and I think it's a, I think it's actually beautiful. You know, I think it's like, you know, I have group chats with friends on gambling and what games we're going to gamble on. We have, you know, group chats, you know, at work about like successes and wins. And I think what we have in group chat about health is actually important.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And cool and fun.
Yeah. I do have group chats.
You are going to have one of those friends, and I have had a few of them. They've recently have given in, but they're like, I'm good. I don't need to be a part of it. Don't tell me what to do. I'll figure it out. You know, you're going to have those. I don't need blood work. I'm fine. You're going to have those friends, but eventually they're going to be like, oh, wait a minute. You know, especially that's why I kind of post sometimes my before and after pictures, get that person like, dude, you're not fine because you don't remember that I look like that, did you? And now you're looking at, you know, now you're looking at me completely different, you know? So, you know, you don't remember that I look like that. So you don't know that you have looked like that as well, or you currently do. So let's get with the program, and I'll share with you everything we do, what I've done. It starts with blood work, changing diet, working out 5, 6, 7 days a week, getting a trainer at least 1 or 2 days a week because I need to build muscle, and I'm not going to do that on my own. I can, but I won't. Going up, you know, getting all the essential vitamins. You know, I've talked about Symbiotica before. 10X as a multivitamin. I have that. Ultima. Hydration, you know, we're even coming out with a brand ourselves, but, you know, all of these things, you know, and then there's little things, right? You know, going back to diet, cutting out a lot of breads, replacing butter with olive oil, like going overboard on greens. Like my fridge is like celery sticks, zucchini slices, cucumber slices, broccoli, you know, like just overdoing on the greens, minimizing cheeses. You know, I only have cheeses if I really want it. Like if I make a burger patty, yes, I'm throwing a slice of organic American cheese or organic Swiss, but you know, no random cheese. I'm not going to eat. I used to eat just cubes of cheese, you know, mozzarella balls, like by the dozens. No more of that.
Yeah. It's really cool when everyone is on that program. If everyone, like, it's like you lead each other and everyone builds on each other. And, you know, it must be cool having the circle of friends.
Yeah.
To like push you.
It's fun. It's fun. It's just as fun now chatting with them about health as it is talking gambling with them. Like we have a gambling chat, then we have another one for Prize Picks where we all like share our picks and screenshot of who we're going with, because all my friends live in California, so Prize Picks works here. And you know, it's like we all like go and do the same picks together. But that group chat is just as fun as the health and wellness one. It's fun. It's fun to create these chats.
Yeah, I really struggled in my own life with gambling, and it was one thing that once I got over, it really changed my life. Like, I went deep into it in college and a little bit after college, and I lost so much money.
Oh, wow.
And it really, it's like one of those unspoken things, I think, that can like hide under the radar because you can do it at any time.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's so pernicious. Like, it's so like all encompassing. And it's like, when am I placing another bet? And at some point a year ago, I was like, this isn't me anymore. And I just stopped. And so, yeah, what do you think about gambling and kids who are getting introduced to it now? Is it okay? Like, how do you do it in a responsible way?
It's never okay if it's an addiction.
It was an addiction.
That could hurt, that affects your life or affects your family's life. So nothing is good. You know what I mean? Like, you know, smoking weed or eating mushrooms is not good if you're going to get addicted to it. Alcohol is not good if you're going to be addicted to it. Gambling is not good if you're going to be addicted to it. So, you know, if you could figure out moderation, some people can, you know, if you figure out how to do certain things in moderation, then it's fine. But if you can't do that, then I would advise staying away from it.
Yeah. Well,
not just gambling, anything, alcohol,
yeah,
marijuana, mushrooms, tobacco. You know, if you can't do it in moderation, stay away from it.
Yeah, similar to you in certain phases of that gambling for me, it was like, I didn't even know I had a problem.
Yeah.
And then I like saw it. And then once I saw it, it was a while until I even could be done with it, you know? So I think there are these hidden forces that are going against us in society, alcohol, gambling, that if you let take over you, which they absolutely can, they can ruin your life.
Yeah.
And likewise, if you go and do the same, a level of fitness, like that could take over your life. But you end up in a like slightly higher place if you do certain things as opposed to others.
Yeah. I think if you could figure out how to be addicted to something good, and I know it sounds weird, but I used to smoke weed years ago, and I used to microdose mushrooms years ago. I haven't done them in a very long time. My new drug, honestly, is eating healthy. And when I'm eating healthy and my body's just super clean, when I take a packet of like, just say like a Symbiotica charcoal or Golden Mine or magnesium, I actually feel high. You know, like if you take some good quality supplements while your body is cleansing or you're fasting, and you take some good pure, you know, not some random shit that you buy, you know, at Costco, like good quality supplements, it's better than any high I've ever experienced in my life.
Wow.
So, and I think that's the thing. If you could get kind of look at the world a little bit differently, you don't need narcotics to feel high. You could actually go and do a nice run, nice workout, and have some, eat clean, drink some good water, and just take some good vitamins, and you're going to feel, you know, a good natural high.
And you've been fasting a lot too recently, right?
Yeah, I do. I haven't been able to do the 72 hours or the 84.
That's crazy.
It is that everyone's, I haven't been able to do that. I do once every couple of weeks, I'll do like a 40, I haven't actually even been able to hit 48. I've done a couple 44s and a 146 hour.
Wow. That's a long time.
It's a long time, but I'm trying to get that. I can't even hit 48 hours. Like it's like 46 has been the most I've ever been able to go. But I try to do those every couple of weeks.
Wow. That's cool. Before we wrap up here, I want to ask about the expansion of love and freedom. That has been what I've realized is a core mission in my life. And I want to help bring people to more love and freedom. And so I'm curious, for your life, what has been the greatest thing or the greatest habit or the greatest activity or the greatest thing in general that has expanded your own love and freedom for yourself?
Well, there's quite a bit, but I would say, you know, one of the greatest, you know, I talk about it all the time. I'll talk about it. Is one of my favorite things to do is hanging out with my wife. Like, I think finding someone that you could just enjoy just being with and talking to and, you know, just do anything with. Like, I think, like, we could just, like, we go and watch sunsets together. The other night we were watching the national championship game together, Michigan versus Washington. We travel together. We went to our first Raiders game at Allegiant Park. We go to events. She's like, you know, she's like we're like one unit with everything we do. And I think that's pretty much one of, you know, my family loves her. She loves my family. Her, like, she's become pretty much a sister to my brother, you know, and vice versa. Like, they have their own relationship now where they, like, you know, she'll call him and they'll joke and laugh about something. I'll be like, who are you talking to? She's like, I'm talking to Sam. We're like talking shit about this and that, you know, like, I just love that.
It's such a beautiful thing.
Yeah.
I'm so grateful for you for this episode, sharing vulnerability and truth to a level that I haven't seen all of your stuff, but I just really appreciate how deeply you talked about death and how deeply you talked about.
I'm sorry, guys. I've just been through it, man. Like, no, it's been like the last
apologize
day.
Yeah.
I hope my energy wasn't too low on this one.
No,
but
it was truthful to the moment, and I'm really grateful that you went to those places where you easily could have not talked about them or brushed over it. Like, to me, that was so impactful, and so I'm really grateful you had the courage to share. So thank you.
Of course. Thank you for having me.
My pleasure. Anywhere else we should send people to connect with you further?
We have so many different places.
I know.
Yeah. I don't even know who, you know, but yeah, they'll find us.
Sounds good.
All right.
Appreciate you,
bro. Thank you.